Welcome to the Our Community Sermons.
So when I hear spiritual warfare, it's sometimes I don't always know exactly what that means. I mean, if I stop to really think about it, I understand that there's a war going on in the heavenlies. But in my day-to-day, in my week-to-week, sometimes we just forget that we're in an actual war. Like, there is war in the heavenlies, and it's happening all of the time, right? And so I can get a little bit lost in I'm just doing badly this week, or I'm doing really good this week, and I can attribute to one of those two things, either I'm doing really badly or I'm doing really good. And so I think when I first became a Christian is when the reality of good and evil really hit me. You know, there was a lot of things that I did as an unbeliever that my parents said, they were Christians at the time, and they said, hey, Dave, you know, you shouldn't do that. You're addicted to that. And I would say, no, I'm not. I'm not addicted to this. I could stop whenever I want. I just don't want to, right? And so I would say things like this. And then when I became a Christian, literally that first day, the reality of war was actually there. The things that I once did, like literally I had such a powerful conversion January 7, 2001, 10:30 in the morning. It was such a radical conversion for me that I no longer wanted to do the things that I did literally the day before. But then all of a sudden, there's this thing happening in my mind where I'm being tempted, but I don't want to. But I'm being tempted, but I don't want to. And I had never experienced that until that day. Honestly, I'd never experienced that war was something that I didn't want to do, but yet there was temptation to actually want to do it. And the Apostle Paul, he actually talks about that too. He says, you know, the things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I do. The things that I do, I don't want to do. And there's this conflict and there's this war within us, right? And it just reveals that there is a battle between good and evil. It's in all the movies. It's in so many things. Like, we understand there is darkness and there is light. There is good, there is evil. But sometimes we forget to recognize how this plays out in our spiritual walk every day, right? And we can become really insular. We can just look at ourselves. I'm doing really badly this week. And why am I doing this again, man? I thought I was over this like 6 years ago, and here I am again, you know? And so I thought it'd be really cool for us to go through a couple of things to highlight something that is going on already right now as we speak. There's things that are happening in the heavenlies. There's a war for your soul. Satan can't steal your salvation, but if he can make you impotent, then he's done well. So if he can get you to keep thinking about yourself and cause you to think that you're really small and that you can't overcome, well, then he's won the battle, right? You can't see your salvation, but it just means that you're not going to be powerfully walking throughout your week. So we're going to unpack a little bit of this. This is a two-part series. I'm on next week, Sunday, as well. So I would encourage you, if you can make it next week as well, there's a part two that will add to what we're talking about today. So understanding spiritual warfare, the battle in the spirit between God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom. Pretty simple, right? So we're going to go through a couple scriptures that actually talk about Satan. Okay, so this is going to describe like who he is. Like, and this is not an exhausted list. This is a few scriptures that I've actually chosen to be able to, again, just reveal to you guys like how he wants to move in your life, how he's maybe even moving in your life right now to discourage you, keep you down. So I'm going to put this down. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, and I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So steal, kill, and destroy. So there's going to be a time at the end where we're going to have a bit of time to meditate on some of this stuff, right, and go, where do I feel like some of this stuff is happening in my own life? What have I said is me, which maybe is not me at all? It's actually the enemy coming to kill, steal, and destroy. And then hopefully what will begin to happen is you'll fight the right battles. You won't fight the ones that are shadows. You'll fight the ones that you actually need to be fighting, and you'll embrace the ones that God is walking you through. There's challenges that God walks us through, and when we embrace it, we walk through it a lot easier. Then we get to that James 1, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and tribulations. Why? Because the testing of your faith produces patience, right? Patience. And then there's perseverance. And when we persevere in that place, knowing that God is good, I'm embracing, he's chastening me. You know, he's maybe rebuking me for some of the things I need to get right. It's in love. And I trust him. This is hard. This is difficult. But God is good. And then it says right at the end of that, if you can hang on there, realize that God is in the building. He's talking to you. Perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Who wants that? Dude, that is like, that's where it's at. That's where we live more powerfully and consistently in God. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So cunning. So just know that even as Christians, you know, the enemy hears what you say and he knows what you've been through. He sees the struggles that he once had you in and now you're out of, right? And so he's very cunning. He's very cunning. Like, he can speak in first person in your mind. So the enemy can speak in first person in your mind. And then you begin to think that you are actually something that you're really not. For a lot of years, I actually, like, even as a Christian man, I would hear these thoughts, oh, you're dumb, you're stupid. And all of these experiences would actually line up. Like, I'd have experience after experience that would speak to me about why those words are true, right? But I really didn't think that I was that dumb, but yet the experience was speaking louder than what I truly believed about myself. But the voice in my head was telling me in first person, hello? So the enemy can speak in first person where you think it's actually you speaking to you. Now there's times where that's happening, and so you need to be discerning. You need to understand what you really believe about yourself, and hopefully it's what God believes, right? But the enemy is cunning. He's very cunning. 1 Peter 5, 8-9, be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So here's the devil again, your adversary. So he does not like you at all. He has a plan for your life, though. He has a plan for your life as well. God's got a plan for your life. He's got a plan for your life as well. And it's kill, steal, destroy, destruction, death. If he can make you impotent as a Christian, he has succeeded as the devil. He has succeeded. And so, adversary, devil walking about like a roaring lion, just looking for opportunities. You know, who is feeling rejected right now? Who is super offended right now? Who is walking in sin? Who is doubting? Who is doing all of these things? He's seeking, like looking through, like who's the one that I can pounce on? So understanding that, you know, as we're wrestling through life and every one of us has got our own wrestles, the enemy is lurking. Now, I'm not one of those guys that's looking for a devil around every bush. Like that's definitely not me. Sometimes your own sin put you in situations that you need to, this is a little bit, it's a little bit echoey or something. Yeah, tinny. So I'll just scream a little bit louder until that gets on, right? So, what was I just saying? Help me out.
When sin gets in the way.
When sin gets in the way, yes, okay. When sin, oh yeah, roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So sometimes there's things that we bring upon ourselves, right? And then there's things where the enemy's going, oh, I see a little something there. I'm going to ride that wave of depression. I'm going to ride that wave of, you know, self-hatred. I'm going to ride that wave of, you know, not thinking that you're good enough. And he jumps on that wave and he surfs it for as long as he can, right? He'll speak in first person in your life. He'll help all of your experiences to line up with that thought. Very, very cunning. You know, steal, kill, destroy. Seeking whom he may devour. So in your week, you know, like, again, I'm not looking for a devil around every bush or anything, but like, we need to understand that we are in a spiritual battle. There's a spiritual battle going on. Let's get to a couple more of these. Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So that coworker or that person in your life that were like, it's you, you're my problem. They may be an instrument that is being used at the moment to push your buttons in all kinds of ways. But our wrestle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over present darkness against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Again, just good to know, like, what is actually happening in my week? What is happening in my day? Why am I so downcast? Why is my soul so unhappy? What is really going on? And these are great things to actually take before the Lord, understanding that there is a devil that is lurking. There is a devil that wants to kill, steal, and destroy in your life. There's a devil that wants to speak into your life to cause you to believe all kinds of stuff that's untrue. And what that's going to do, guys, is when we believe that we're something that we're really not, and the devil is having a heyday with this, we actually start fighting all the wrong battles. How frustrating and exhausting is it when you're like, man, I'm fighting, and I read my Bible, and I'm praying, and I'm seeking the Lord, and this thing just won't go away. Like, God, where are you? Like, what is going on? It's been a week. It's been a month. God, where are you? Like, it's a question that I would ask is, are you fighting the right battle? Asking the Holy Spirit, would you speak to me, Holy Spirit, about this? I'm being challenged in my heart right now, and I feel like I'm doing good, but yet these voices, like, I feel like I'm being reminded by you that I'm not doing good. Has anybody ever felt that before? Felt like they're being reminded by God that you're not doing good? I know I felt that heaps until I remembered that He's not the one that's reminding you of all of your sin if you've confessed it. He's not the one doing that. That's the accuser of the brethren, right? And so the devil wants to remind you of all of your sins. Why? To keep you impotent. To keep you down. To make sure that you don't thrive in your week. John 8:44. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Speaking to the Pharisees. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and a father of it. So this is like the description of the enemy. Does this work again? We will try. Yeah. Is it good?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Nice. Yeah, there we go. Okay, cool. So he's a liar and he's the father of it. And so what's really important, guys, for us as believers is to really understand, where are the lies in my life that I'm actually believing? Where's that voice in my own life that keeps suppressing the things of God? Where am I finding myself, you know, embracing a lie, causing myself to fall in love with something? I know that's maybe a little expressive, but like, it's amazing how we do these things because our experience speaks loudly. Our experiences speak very, very loudly, right? And sometimes our experiences we feel are unjustified. We're like, this has happened to me, that's happened to me, and that's happened to me. And then the voice tells me, or my experience tells me, that this is why, you're this, you're that. And then we see the experience, we believe what's going on. And then we do weird things, like people that are offended, really offended a lot, they do this weird thing and we start petting demonic cats. We start petting this thing, and it feels good to pet it. It actually makes you feel good about how we're doing life, because it's justified. And why is it justified? Well, because that's happened to me, that's happened to me, that's happened to me, that's happened to me. And so, man, they should. And we get into this vicious cycle, not understanding that our fight is not against flesh and blood, but it's principalities and there's powers. There's things happening in the heavenlies over your life that are trying to destroy you. And there's things over your life that are trying to lead you into all truth. It's the Holy Spirit. And so knowing what God is saying is so important. Knowing what the Word says about you is so important. This is like your first act of spiritual warfare is really understanding the Word so you can agree with it. So when that first person voice is leading you away from that, we can shut that down. Like, I know this is maybe a silly example, but, you know, if the devil was standing in front of you and calling you all kinds of names, would you just receive it if you knew it was the devil? Would you receive it, Kirsten? Absolutely not. Why? He's the devil. He's the devil. And he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He's a liar. He's the father of all lies. He's very cunning, though, so he wants you to believe something. And so the simple example here, guys, is like, don't let the devil in front of you begin to dictate how powerful you are in God. What you've got access to, regardless of what you've done, you've got access to the power of God. But you got to fight in your mind for truth. Because this is where strongholds are, right here. They're in the mind. This is where you camp up around truth. You camp up around the things of God, and it's a strength to you, and it begins to weed out all kinds of lies that the enemy has. Revelation 12:10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. The accuser. So if there's accusations you feel in your heart against yourself or your mind, it's not the Lord. The Lord is very clear conviction. The accuser of the brethren reminds you of all of your sin. It's condemnation. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity, understanding, again, it is really simple. It is actually a war in the heavenlies between good and evil. But the good thing is that God has actually won the battle. Jesus won the battle. We don't need to go fight the fight that Jesus has already fought. We need to embrace what God has done. We need to resist the enemy and submit. That's it. That's James 3, right? We resist the enemy and we submit. And so in your submission, this is where we become really powerful, because it's humility. It's giving everything to the Lord and saying, God, I don't really know everything. I don't know really what's going on, but I'm submitting to you. When we submit to God, you relinquish your right to fight for yourself. And so he starts fighting. And so that's the powerful thing, guys. It's like, it's not really a fair battle for the enemy, but you know, he's convinced so many of us that the lies that he's sowing, we believe, and it makes us impotent. And then we stop believing what the Lord's really done. And then we struggle all the time. The devil doesn't try to tell you how powerful he is. He tries to deceive you into thinking how weak you are. And I know that to be so true, where I just feel so weak. I'm just like, there's nothing I can do. Man, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. I've tried to overcome. I've tried to do this. I've tried to do that. But nothing works. Nothing is actually happening. Like nothing can actually fix this thing. Has anybody walked around a few mountains in their life? Yeah. And you know what? There will probably be a few more mountains that we walk through in our life. But I think if we can get to that James 3, you know, we resist the enemy. So that's what we do. So those lies, we resist those lies. You got to resist, submit. That's it. Your submission to God brings the power of the gospel into your life. Submission to the Lord. You're no longer in control. He is in control. And so the mind of Christ is where I actually lock onto. The mind of Christ. Understanding the word, believing the word. So open doors. So I want to talk about this thing. It's a little bit touchy sometimes, but you guys are all mature believers. You guys know what's going on. And so with spiritual warfare, like quite simply, like I mentioned on that first slide, it's like this is the battle between good and evil, right? And so here we are now as Christians. I actually do not believe that Christians can be demon-possessed. I think we can be demonized by open doors that we allow the enemy to work in our life. And the reason why I believe that is a house divided against itself cannot stand. So as born-again believers, the house gets clean and the Holy Spirit comes in. But how many of you guys know that we've still got a mind that needs renewing? We still have habits in our life that need renewing. We need to cut things off and we need to take on things, right? And so open doors in your life could be massive reasons why we just can't win. We just can't seem to just walk in how that song talks about the glory of God and powerful, and we live in victory, like these anthem songs that we sing, but yet our experience is not that. And so open doors. What you believe is so important. What you believe is so important. That's why truth is important. That's why reading your Bible is really important, right? Getting some of this into your life every single week, every day if you can, but at least every week, you know, reading the Bible and allowing it to actually take root in your life is so important. as a young believer, you know, one of the things that I really battled with was self-hatred. I actually hated myself. I could not receive the love of God. I could not receive encouragement in the way that I needed it because I actually hated myself. And I had all the experiences to back why that was important in my life. It's so weird that I believed that, but that was just the situation. And so when I finally got free, when someone gave me a word and the reality of what I was doing came to my mind, I was like, whoa, I actually hate myself. That's weird. That's weird as a Christian that I would hate myself when God says He loves me. And so it wasn't an overnight thing, but it was a process of like weeks and months that I gave this thing and bam, I started experiencing the love of God that I'd never experienced before. All of a sudden I was encountering new things that I could not encounter before because it was resisting God. It was resisting God. And so the breakthrough that we sometimes need in our life gets resisted by what you believe. Can God really do that? I just don't know if He can. Well, then He won't. He just won't. And so what you believe is so important. That's why the Word of God, Word of God, Word of God, Word of God, and connection to the Holy Spirit throughout the week, waking up, talking to Holy Spirit, you know, having a great time with the Holy Spirit, getting really comfortable with that, like, with that voice, just with the communion and friendship with God, like just with you every day. Get really, really close to that so that in moments when we're wrestling, you will know what truth sounds like. You will know what it sounds like. Because the Bible doesn't address every single issue you will ever have in your life, but it talks a lot in principle and truth. And He is with us as the Spirit of truth. He's with us and He wants to lead us into all truth. So friendship with God is so important, right? Getting comfortable with that, like leading of the Holy Spirit and reading your word. So what you believe, social media has so much rubbish on it. And I actually said for years, you know, I said, you know, I'm not really impacted by those McDonald's ads. You know what I mean? I'm not really impacted by all of these advertisements for all of these big companies and all that stuff. I'm just fooling myself if I think that I can be around that all day long and it not impact me. Like, it's actually crazy. These companies literally spend millions and millions and millions and squillions of dollars to get your attention. Why? Because they want you to buy something. And it is successful. It is successful. And so every one of us, whether we believe it or not, we are impacted by advertisement. I watched a movie, forget what it's called, but even Apple, they like the dings on your phone, the decibels, the way it sounds, everything, it's all about grabbing your attention, saying, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. And so sometimes social media, like if we find ourselves just hanging around social media all day, every day, and this is a real Gen Z thing right now, probably millennials as well, but Gen Z in particular, like they grew up with this. Everything is digital. Everything is social media. So everything, bam, how cool you are, how many likes you can get, like all of that is how a lot of people are getting their importance. You know, I'm special because, well, I got 100 likes on that. But then we read these comments from people on the other side of the planet that we don't know, and then we get like depressed, and some people get suicidal because they're reading these messages from people that they don't know from the other side of the world, and they're taking it to heart. Can you see how social media is one of these things? And you know, and these are things that you guys gotta, you know, either look to yourself and say, you know, am I spending too much time on this where I'm just not gaining victory? Like I'm really not believing what God wants me to believe. Pornography. Like a massive thing, you know, for us to get stuck into pornography means that we're going to get, you know, caught up in all kinds of addictions. We're going to start seeing the world in a very, very different way. The way that God doesn't want us to see it, right? And so these are open doors where the enemy can absolutely destroy you. And so I had a lot of years of addiction to pornography, right? And I remember even as a young man, you know, I'm now a believer. I'm in like worship times and stuff like that. Still struggling with pornography every once in a while. All of a sudden, I'm in a worship time, you know, and my mind is pure. you know, I'm in the right place. And all of a sudden, these images start coming to my mind in the midst of worship, right? And so it's like, oh my gosh, it snaps me out of worship. And I begin to talk to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, forgive me. I'm so sorry. And I immediately thought that that image was me when it was a sewn image, right? It was a sewn image into my mind that had nothing to do with me, right? This is spiritual warfare at its best. But as I talked to a few of my mentors, you know, they're saying, what is your life like, Dave? What is it like? You know, and I said, well, occasionally I do find myself watching a bit of porn and stuff. They're like, okay, well then in that moment, that was a sown thought, but these are open doors that you've given the enemy on your life. As a born again, fire-filled, spirit-filled believer, you can open doors to these things and they'll wreak havoc on your life. They'll wreak havoc on your life. And it'll be that thing where it's like, man, I watched, oh shoot, you know, and you ask God to forgive you. He forgives you and he's no longer reminding you about that thing. But because of your consistency in that thing, it's giving the devil a foothold into your life. Is there warfare over your life? 100% there is. Definitely. He's got a plan for your life. And if we continue to open our life in ways like this, it's just little footholds. It's here. It's there. It's here. It's there. But what I want to encourage you guys, in the midst of all of this, if you find yourself like constantly walking around the same mountain, take some of this stuff to the Lord. Like always just the same mountain. I just cannot get breakthrough. Cannot get breakthrough. Take some of this stuff to the Lord and get really aggro with this stuff and say, dude, I'm actually cutting that thing out. I'm cutting that thing out. Witchcraft. You know, it's amazing how many Christians still go to tarot card, you know, people's, you know, palm readers, all kinds of stuff. And it's just a weird kind of thing. No, there's actually like spiritual warfare is real. I remember like this was such a powerful situation that I ran into when I was in India years ago. We were about to do an open air in this village, and there was, you know, like the whole village was there. And right before we started, our contact and interpreter said, hey, there's a woman that wants to talk to you guys. And so it was me and a staff member. We went to the side, and there's this woman that was on all fours. So she had polio. That's the way they describe it. She walked on all fours. But it was a very sudden thing that had happened. 3 months ago, so they said 3 months ago, she woke up and she just had this disease on her. And I was like, okay, that's kind of weird. And so they said, can you pray for her? And so we sat down and we prayed for her. And as we prayed for her, you know, something was highlighted. She was wearing these black leather bands. And we asked what they were, and they're witchcraft bands. They're basically when they get sick, They go to the witch doctor, he prays over them, anoints them, and it's supposed to heal their bodies, right? Well, it didn't heal this lady's body. And so, again, we didn't know this whole story until afterwards, but it was really powerful. And so we pull off these two bands. We said, can we pull that off? She said, yes. We pull them both off. And she just starts just absolutely like talking really loudly. And I was like, what's going on? Because she couldn't speak, and she was on all fours. And I was like, is this a bad thing or a good thing, you know? And they said, no, this is a good thing. She hasn't spoken in 3 months. And I'm like, whoa, that's crazy. Absolutely crazy, right? But she still wasn't standing. And so we prayed again, and we felt like, is there another band on you? And sure enough, there's one around her waist. And as soon as we pulled that off her waist, this one, boom, stood straight up. So it was like this instant thing where you go, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, this is insane. And so right there, she got born again. We went back to her house. And she led us to her house, and it was like the book of Acts where she pulled all of her idols out, all that stuff. We went outside. We burned all these things. And the presence of evil on that property I've never experienced before. It was absolutely insane. We anointed all four corners of the property. It's all we need to do. There's no book on this. So, well, I don't know. You just kind of do what you do in those moments, right? And we just prayed that the Spirit of the Lord would be glorified on that property. But that reality there, I was like, oh my gosh. Like we are in a spiritual battle. Like the enemy wants to destroy you. And so little things like, hey, come and get healing from this band. Just put this on. You go, oh, it's no big deal. It's just a leather band, right? It's no big deal. And you begin to open your life to the enemy. And so I want you guys to be really sharp. The Spirit of God's in you. That's a good thing. So at least we got the wisdom of God that is traveling with us as we're walking through our days and our weeks with the Lord, right? Movies is another thing as well. We can get really complacent with these things, you know, and say, there is some nudity in there. Yeah, there is this and that. Man, like, look, I'm not here to tell you which movie you should watch and which ones you shouldn't. I'm just saying, it is amazing where we are today in society, right? In society, we are, not because it happened overnight, but because 20 years ago, they were sowing all kinds of things that we just became really okay and comfortable with. And here we are today, living in a world where good is evil and evil is good. Isn't that wild, hey? Isn't that wild how you can change an entire society? Is there a battle going on, folks? 100% there is. Definitely for our society, for our country, for our children right now. The LGBTQ, man, they are going after our kids. They're coming after our kids. And it is insanity. How many Christians out there, I run into them all the time, that are like, good is evil and evil is good. And it is wild. And it just reveals, again, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers. It's against the heavenly host, man. These things that want to destroy your life, want to destroy society, don't want Christianity to be built up in a nation. And so movies carry these things. Hollywood is a huge driver of all this stuff. And so I work with young people all the time, and it's interesting having conversations with us around them because, man, there's a lot of entitlement. Don't you dare tell me I can't watch. Hey, I didn't tell you couldn't watch that movie. Just saying, it might be demonic, right? You know, it's amazing, the entitlement. Man, don't you dare tell me that I can't. Don't you dare tell me. And it's like, look, I'm not here to tell you. Do you want open doors, though? Do you want to be free? Yes. Well, then don't be stupid. Come on. Let's not be silly. Like, these young people are just being riddled with all kinds of stuff, right? And I think we just need to become aware of it or have conversations around it. Like, what am I allowing into my house and what am I not, right? And this can be really confronting in our soul because it's like, whoa. I mean, and I'm going to let you deal with the Lord on that. It's not for me to tell you. It's not for me, this is what you should do or shouldn't do. It's for us to realize that there is open doors that we can invite as Christian believers, and it can stunt the growth of God. It can cause you to keep walking around the same mountains over and over and over again because we just want our stuff more than we want freedom. Hello? You guys okay? I'm not purposely poking you in the ribs, okay? It's just like, these are challenging to me as well. Addictions. Of course, addictions are going to create, doors for the enemy to come and to destroy, to start changing your mind, you know, causing you to not want to read the Bible. Why is something better? You know, to not want to pray, to not want to fast, to not want to worship. Like all of these things that the Lord has given us as tools that just lift you out of your space and into the heavenlies. But sometimes it's so hard to get there, isn't it? Like, have you ever wondered why it's so hard to read your Bible? Like, it can be so difficult. Or you're like, tonight when I get home, I'm going to read my Bible. And then you get through, like, you set it up perfectly. You know, like the lamps are bedside, sitting on the bed. You might have a tea or something. And, oh, yeah, wow. Maybe I'll do it in the morning. Right? The very thing that we know is going to set us free and help us is the thing that we lay down for a little bit more sleep, or we're just unaware that there's an enemy that wants to stop you from reading your Bible. And it sounds storybook sometimes, guys, but it's real. Like, it is so real, all of this stuff. Like, the enemy does not like you. He doesn't want you to be powerful. And so, practically, you got to just understand that. Understand, like, When I'm having a crap day, what's going on? Asking a few questions is really good. When you find yourself getting really hard on yourself, like, why are you doing that? Why are you so hard on yourself? Why are you so hard? Like, give yourself some stinking grace, man. Like, give yourself some grace. Get on your knees and start, like, praying and asking the Lord to help you. Like, this is a much more powerful and fruitful way of walking powerfully in God, right? So, the armor of God. Ephesians 6. Can we just turn there for a sec? Is it really warm in here, or is it just me? Off?
Well, yeah, I was just getting blasted.
Okay, yeah. Because normally that door is open as well, too, so. Okie dokie. So Ephesians 6, we're going to start in verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." That sounds good, doesn't it? Be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. So this is reality. This can be the testimony of your life. You can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God and you may be able to withstand the wiles of the enemy. So how much of the armor do you put on to withstand the wiles of the enemy? All of it. All of it. Or you have an open door. Right? All of it. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. How many darts? All of them. Like, all of them. Take up the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Okay, so I've got a cool little picture here. Guy all armored up, which is good. So the belt of truth. Now, my little talking points underneath it. I've heard a lot of commentary on, you know, the different pieces of the armor, and this is kind of where I sit. And so, if you disagree with it, that's totally fine. Just know why you disagree with it. You can say something if you want afterwards. So belt of truth. So this is speaking of the truth that we walk in and believe. So again, it's that whole belief thing, right? So what do I believe about God? What do I really believe about God? What do I really believe about me being saved? Like, if I'm constantly struggling with my salvation, am I saved? Am I not saved? You know, then I really need to put on the belt of truth and say, nah, man, like, I am saved, period. Not by works, but by what Christ has done, right? And so this is speaking about the truth that we walk in and believe. So you got to be wearing your belt of truth, man, or else you're going to be, you know, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. They're going to say this and go, yeah, I guess so. And this, I guess so. And then you'll never walk in fruitfulness. And so I think this is, I think, at the core of all of it, God wants us to be fruitful in our living, fruitful Christianity. So the breastplate of righteousness, knowing that you are in right standing with God because of what Jesus has done. So when you ask God to forgive you, he forgives you. You are in right standing, not because of your good works, but because you have become the righteousness of Christ through what he has done. So you're in right standing with God. Man, that is actually pretty powerful when we don't feel like we are, or when we feel like we've missed the mark. Man, I did this. I treated that person badly. Shoot. Oh, I watched this. I did that. Man, I swore too much this week, or whatever. Whatever it takes, you know, for us to feel like, you know, we're not worthy, we're not good, right? Ask God to forgive you, but remembering righteousness. You got to wear the breastplate of righteousness. It's right standing with God. And that's where we are as born-again believers. The shoes, the preparation of the gospel of peace, sharing Jesus as a regular part of your life. Like he says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So there's like, how am I sharing that, you know? In my workplace, and I'm not saying you need to stand on a soapbox at your workplace and say, hey, thus saith the Lord to you with that Jesus is the King, you know? How do our co-workers know that we're Christian, you know? Do they know that we've got faith in our hearts? Do they know that we go to church, you know? Have we ever offered to pray for them, you know? Like, how are we sharing what we know to be true in our love for God with the people around us? Man, this actually just brings on more power. It brings on more power. Shield of faith, our faith in God and what He says. So my faith is in what God says, not what people say. My faith is in what God says, not what people say. That's your shield right there, right? It quenches how many fiery darts? All of them, every single one of them. So your faith in God is so important. And so build yourself up in your holy faith. Build yourself up. Build yourself up. The helmet of salvation, walking in the assurance of heaven and being forgiven. You're saved. You're saved. So just be saved. Be saved. When you mess up, and you will again, don't question your salvation. Just get on your knees and repent. Right? But you're saved. Like, you are saved if you've given your life to Jesus. Such an important part of this whole armor thing. And then the sword of the Spirit. Knowing the Word of God will keep you from being deceived and will teach you how to fight the right fight. And I think that's just it. When we have got all of these things in place, really simple, it's amazing how your life just looks different. And I'm not saying that you're going to have Lamborghinis and Ferraris and own 3 houses. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about fruitful living. In the midst of all of your troubles, you're just going to be okay. You're going to be okay. You're not going to question your salvation. You're not going to wonder, you know, am I a good person? You're not going to wonder about God. We're not going to blame God for all kinds of things that He didn't do. Like, it just keeps you in line. It keeps you in line with fruitful living. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Armor of God. So put it all on and just don't take it off. You know what I mean? Like, you just put it on and just don't take it off. But how you keep it on is by believing. That's how you keep it on, is by believing. When you believe the belt of truth, when you believe what He says, when you believe what God is saying, you keep that belt on. But as soon as you take that belt off, you're now susceptible. You're susceptible to all kinds of weird and wacky things that the enemy would love to remind you of, your past. The ugly past. You know, the gremlins that you thought were gone are now once back again. And so my encouragement, guys, is for you guys to just actually look at these things and stay in the Word and understand that there's an enemy lurking and he wants to destroy your life. Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, one last slide here. I know we're a few minutes over. The greatest form of deliverance is truth. So truth is a gift from God, man, for us to be free so that we can come back to what He's designed us for, how He's designed us, and how we can truly live as born-again believers. Like, I spent a lot of years wrestling with just going to church and reading my Bible and praying and being in worship times and never getting free. I just hated it. I just hated it. You know, I didn't understand it. I didn't understand what was going on. When I began to understand that I was in a spiritual fight, that the enemy was actually sowing all kinds of things into my life, and I was fighting with the shadow rather than embracing the truth, I expended all of my energy. All of my energy was expended. I've got nothing more to give God. What else can I give you? I'm fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting, but I was fighting the wrong fight. You guys ever done that before? Fighting the wrong fight. And then, Holy Spirit, what do I need to embrace? One last testimony. It's coming to my mind, and then I'll pray. It was about 3 or 4 years into working with Youth with a Mission. I was surrounded by people all the time. And I was feeling totally alone. Like, I was just feeling alone. I just felt alone. I felt alone a lot. I'm like, this is so weird. It just felt like it just kind of came on me. But nothing had changed. I live in a room with 3 other dudes, you know, so we're dormitory. So there's always people around me. They're just everywhere. Nothing has seemingly changed. But yet my mind started going, oh, wow, yeah, people just aren't recognizing me, you know, and all people just aren't, you know, they're just not, you know, inviting me to things. And maybe that's why I'm feeling alone. And I went to all of these things, right? Like I was going to all of these different things, like maybe this is why, maybe that's why, maybe that's why. And I was wrestling with this for months. And I'm like, maybe God's calling me out. Maybe God's calling me back to Canada. I need to go back to Canada, or else I wouldn't be feeling like this, you know? And it was a lack of maturity at the time. And so I was wrestling with this thing 4 months, battling it. And I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. And I was coming to all kinds of wacky conclusions about all the people around me. Right? I didn't have any conversations with them, but I came to a lot of conclusions. And then wrestling with the Lord one day, he sovereignly broke into my midst. And he said, Dave, I've taken away your ability to get filled by people. Everything changed. See, me as a person, where I found all of my fill was around people, I would come to you. I would come to you, hang out, have conversation. Oh, I feel good. I got encouraged. I feel good, you know. And the Lord said, I have removed your ability to get comfort and filling from the people around you. The moment that I did that, it was the embrace of the Lord. Wow. Can you see how that changes everything? Now the Lord is teaching me something rather than I'm fighting some devil that I'm unsure of what it is. Running around in circles, fighting something that God is wanting to impart into my life because he's a good father and he wants to father me into all truth. He wants me to find my sustenance in him. He wants me to find my filling and comfort in him and not people. And so a good father did a really good thing. Isn't that amazing, right? In your own life, there may be things like this that God is absolutely doing, and you're warring with it because you think it's either yourself or the enemy, and God is doing it. And as you embrace it, peace is going to come. There's other things that are happening in your lives at times where it's the enemy. It's actually not you. It's the enemy. The devil kills, steals, destroys. He's cunningly moving into your life, trying to cause you to believe and see certain things that aren't true about yourself. And as we believe it, you become unfruitful and you walk around the same mountain over and over and over again. And it's not the Lord. It's not the Lord and it's not you. So resist the enemy and submit yourself to God. That makes sense? All right, cool. We're going to take a few moments to meditate. Is that cool? I'm going to pray. I'm 10 minutes over. I apologize for that. I'm going to pray and we're going to just give the Holy Spirit 1 to 2 minutes to speak to us. And as he speaks to you about things in your own heart, write those things down. Just write them down. Put them in your phone. These things you can take home this afternoon and really take to the Lord. And whether you need to repent, whether you need to embrace something, just going to trust that the Holy Spirit's going to reveal that to you. That cool? All right. Well, Father, we just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you have won the battle, Lord. You have won the battle. And we just thank you that you have disarmed principalities and powers. And I just pray, Father, for every one of us in this room, that, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, you would speak to us, God, the things that we need to lay down, whether there's open doors that need to be shut, that we need to get rid of, whether there's battles in our life that we are fighting that have got nothing to do with you or us. God, we thank you that your word is sharp. It cuts between bone and marrow, soul and spirit, reveals the intents of the heart. And so, God, we pray for a sharp word from the Holy Spirit to come to us right now, to know how to move, to know how to groove, to know how to embrace this week, Lord. We wait upon you right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word. into our heart, Lord, that brings about transformation. We thank you for clear words, Lord. And Father, this week we just bind every assignment of the enemy in Jesus' name. Over every mind, over every heart, God, we just bind and break the power of the enemy, God. We thank you for illumination by the power of the Holy Spirit over every one of our lives. To know what is God and what is not. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Father, I just pray for a release of your word this week, God, that it'd be so sharp, God. We would know. We would know. We'd be able to journey with that word this week, God, that would empower us, God, to step out of things and to step into things, God. We thank you for fruitful living, for powerful Christianity, for authority over the enemy and all that he says. Just thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.